Well, giving back your tithe, what already belongs to God, is trusting Him to meet your needs. It's a step of faith. So, you know, God isn't wanting something from you. He's wanting something for you. So thank you, Peace Chapel, and your faithful giving each week. In case you missed a sermon, part of the series, you can go to the website, pcmorris.org, and you can click on the Messages tab, and maybe a sermon you missed, you can click on that and hear it. We don't have video yet, but audio is available, so you can want to hear my voice once more. Check it out. So, well, there on the windowsill was a little boy and his cat. Aww. And the boy's mother came to see what they were doing, and she heard the little boy preaching God's word to his cat. So she went about her chores. Later, she heard the cat fussing, and so she went to see what was going on. The little boy had the cat in the kitchen sink full of water. Well, the mother told him that cats don't like water. The boy sharply replied, well, he should have thought of that before she joined the church. Cats do not like water, do they? Right. Well, we're currently in a message series titled, I Am. Moses was asking God what name he should tell the enslaved Israelite people who sent Moses, who sent him. And God said, you tell them, I am that I am. I am that I am. And so Jesus, fast forward to the New Testament, he makes seven I am statements connecting himself with God the Father. Part one, Jesus declared of himself, I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. It was after he had just performed a miracle of feeding the 5,000 with the five loaves and two fish. And the people only wanted the blessing from Jesus and not Jesus himself, the blesser. When we want God more than what we want his blessing, right, we will receive. So the challenge for me, the challenge for us this morning is that to pursue more of God, not just more from God. The people, they wanted to see a sign before they believed, but faith must always come first. Faith must always come first. Believe, and then they would see. You know, we talked about bread that day. We can just look at bread and we can know how it's, you know, what's in the bread, but we have to eat it, right? It's not enough to think about Jesus. It's not enough to know who he is. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus is hard. It means surrendering our will. It's saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't make it on my own. Jesus, save me. I am the bread of life. Part two, Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You see, he said this, Jesus, while he was in the temple treasury, and it was all lit up with torches, symbolizing that God had been a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night to guide Israel in the desert for 40 years. See, Jesus fills a person's life with light, just like the sun gives us light outside. You can close your eyes, you can pretend that the sun doesn't exist, but it does exist, and it's the center, and it's the source of all life. You see, again, only those who believe in Jesus and follow him can receive his light and be delivered from sin, spiritual death, and darkness in this world. We read about the story of Jesus healing the blind man. And the religious leaders, they questioned this man. And his reply was, I love it. I don't know who this Jesus is, but all I know that I was blind and now I can see. You guys can argue and debate, but he changed my life. Once we were blind, but now we can see. If you believe in Jesus and he's God's son and he raised him from the dead, you will be saved, as it says in Romans. Then Jesus, later on, he calls us to be the light of the world. So the challenge is, don't let your light hide. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all to see, so everyone will praise God. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to stick light in people's eyes and blind them. But you can be a light in the restaurant and with your family, and just the fruits of the Spirit working through you. You're a light. You're a light. Well, growing up in Salt Lake City, Utah, our backyard was completely fenced in. We didn't have a garage, but we had a carport. Anybody know what a carport is? Okay. And so, but there was a gate across the carport, you know, with the house, and so that closed off the whole backyard. I spent a lot of time playing basketball in the concrete patio out back in the hoop. Lots of time there. We had lots of grass where we could play catch with the mitts, and we would camp out there, and even my parents bought my brother and I boxing gloves, right, to beat each other up with pads. Go box with your brother. Get out of the house, you know. All kinds of stuff in that backyard. But the best part of our backyard was that we had a dog. You had to kind of tiptoe around the landmines, if you know what I mean. But we had a dog. Let's do a quick poll. How many prefer cats? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. That's okay. All right, cat people out there, how many prefer dogs? Whoa, hey, wow. How many prefer neither? Both hands are up. Okay. I'm allergic. Well, we had different dogs at different various times growing up. But we had one special dog. It was a German Shepherd. And her name was Lady. And I know John's not in here. He might be downstairs. But John, if you're hearing me today, we had a German Shepherd like what you have. Awesome. Well, Lady had the run of the fenced-in yard. And she would bark and chase the squirrels, play fetch. And she was always excited to, you know, when we opened the gate and played with her. All right? Not just feed her, but play with her. We knew she was safe from getting hit by cars or getting loose because we had a fence and a gate. But I remember many, many times that Lady got loose because someone left the gate open. Okay, it was me. I know you were thinking that, right? And it was always it was always awkward whenever Lady got out of the gate from the safety of the backyard, and she's roaming the streets, and we went looking for her, calling, "Lady, Lady," and then some lady's walking by. It's the name of our dog. Sorry, Lady. But we eventually found Lady, and after chasing after for a while, brought her home. She had a collar and a tag, so people knew. Well, think about fences and gates and how useful they are to us. Many countries of the world have fenced borders. Companies protect their properties by installing a fence, right? Amusement parks, Six Flags, they get fences and gates to kind of, you know, their property line, and you just can't walk in. You've got to pay your price and get in, right? There are subdivisions that are gated, and you need a code to get in. There are neighborhoods like mine growing up where all the yards are separated by some type of boundary, a fence. There are fenced-in dog parks. I don't know, are there fenced-in cat parks? Okay. Where dogs can roam and just play. You know, we even have gates inside our homes to block the stairs so our kids, when they were little, or our grandkids now, right, don't fall down and hurt themselves. Gates, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes as adults we try to climb, you know, and sometimes that doesn't go very well. A couple of years ago, my niece, her name is Jenny, they lost their son. His name is Ace. When he was around 2 years old, their house isn't fully fenced in, and he got outside the home, and they couldn't find him anywhere. Close to busy roads and lots of cars, they looked in the yard, across the street, down the block. They couldn't find him. Any parents can identify with that, losing, you know, that what I'm talking about. My brother-in-law, who's been in, he's been a police officer all his life, he called the station where 20 to 30 officers scrambling to search for this little boy, my grandniece or nephew. But you can imagine hearing over the dispatch radio the description of a lost blonde-haired little boy wearing blue shorts and a white shirt that lives at this location who's been missing for 45 minutes. You can imagine hearing that and say, that's my son. Well, the panic plunges into your heart, right, for the parents and the grandparents. The worst possible outcomes begin to flood your mind and your heart, right? Hit by a car or kidnapped. And see, where there's a fence, there's usually a gate to gain access, whether it's a home, a dog park, Six Flags, a company, or a country. You see, fences are good for many reasons, for increased safety, for security. They help with noise reduction, and it creates boundaries and adds privacy and helps protect against harmful stuff from getting in. And all those things about fences are true and they're good, but those fences would be very difficult to enter without some kind of gate. So the title of my message this morning is, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Just as Jesus declared, I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world, he also said, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, this story, it's in chapter 10 of John. It's a continuation of John chapter 9, where Jesus is talking about spiritual blindness to a man that he had just healed of blindness. And Jesus came to heal of spiritual blindness, did he not? People had all kinds of expectations of what Jesus was supposed to do, but he came to open our eyes spiritually. He also came to those who think they see, but they're blind. And of course, the Pharisees, they asked, are you saying that we're blind? And the Pharisees here in the context were, you know, they're posers, they're pretenders, pretending to see and pretending to know about God's law, you know, and lording it over the common people, the uneducated people. They were all about image, and they were all about casting a persona that only they were the true teachers and leaders of the people. They wore the fancy clothes, and you know, they had this air about them. So this is where we pick up our text this morning in John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. I can guarantee this truth, Jesus said. The person who doesn't enter the sheep pen through the gate but climbs in somewhere else is a thief or a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep respond to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out of the pen. And after he has brought out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Verse 5. They won't follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. Jesus used this illustration as he talked to the people, but they didn't understand what he meant. Verse 7, Jesus emphasized, I can guarantee this truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before I did were thieves or robbers. However, the sheep didn't respond to them. I am the gate, he said again. Those who enter the sheep pen through me will be saved. They will go in and out of the sheep pen and find food. And a verse we all know very well, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came so that my sheep will have life, and so that they will have everything they need. So during this time period, it was common to have a large central sheep pen placed in the community there to protect the sheep and to keep them from getting lost. These sheep pens, They usually had no roof, but they were about 10 feet high, and oftentimes they would put, you know, thorns above it to keep the thieves and the robbers out. But there was only one opening at the gate. At nighttime, what would happen is all the shepherds out grazing their sheep would bring them into this sheep pen, right? And they would all file in by this one door, and then they would enter the sheep pen. So all the shepherds, all their sheep are mixed. They're all mixed together, but they're safe in this sheep pen. And they paid a gatekeeper to stay with the sheep during the night to protect them, to guard them. In fact, the gatekeeper, right, would often sleep at the opening of the sheep pen and actually became the door. He became the gate. Nothing could enter or leave the pen without passing over them. In the morning, the gatekeeper opened the gate, right, to those who were truly shepherds. They were coming to retrieve their own sheep. And when the shepherds entered the sheep pen through the gate, he would call to them, and they would recognize his voice, and they would come. In fact, the shepherd was so intimately involved with caring for his sheep, he would call them by name. Paul, come here, Paul. Come here, Tom. Just kidding. Come here, Aaron. Just like I would call my dog Lady, right? She would recognize my voice as we're looking for her, right? Either she's running away from me because she knows she's in trouble, or she hears my voice and can come to me. But the sheep would follow him out because they knew his voice. When Jesus would say things like, "I tell you the truth," or "I assure you," or "truly, truly," or "verily, verily," in some translation, it means what I'm about to say is very important, so I need you to pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying here. And in addressing the Pharisees, Jesus was speaking of them as the thieves and the robbers who were supposed to shepherd God's people, the nation of Israel. You see, the Pharisees knew the law more than the blind man who Jesus had just healed earlier, but they didn't know or they didn't see the true shepherd, Jesus, standing right in front of them. They were spiritually blind. It's not about how much you know, but who you know. Let me say that again. It's not about how much you know, like these religious leaders. Should we know the Word of God? Absolutely. But it's who you know. It's Jesus. And this story that Jesus told is talking about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The true shepherd, Jesus, always goes through the one gate. He's not climbing over the walls to steal the sheep, but he comes through the gate because he cares for and he loves his sheep. These Pharisees, these religious leaders, believed that they were the real shepherds of the church, the pastors, right? And that Jesus was the imposter. Jesus was the thief. Jesus was trying to steal the sheep in their eyes, in their thinking. Because of their spiritual blindness, they had it backwards. Jesus calls his sheep, and they recognize his voice, and they recognize him. So not only would their ears perk up when they hear the voice of their shepherd, right? But they would follow him because they know him as well. The sheep would only follow the shepherd's voice and not a stranger's voice. They didn't recognize the thief, the robber, the stranger, or any other shepherd for that matter. Jesus is the one and only gate for the sheep. He is the gate where the sheep enter the sheep pen and they find safety. Jesus is the gate where believers enter heaven and find eternal life. In the book of Acts, Peter boldly declares, "Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one else in the world is able to save us." Period. End of sentence. That's it. We must go through Jesus to be saved. You see, true shepherds, they come at dawn to graze the sheep. They're not sneaking in at night, climbing over the wall. The thief, he doesn't go through the gate. They aren't his sheep. So he climbs over the wall instead of going through the gate. The thief comes to harm, to steal, to kill, and destroy by disguising himself as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Jesus, again, the imagery is amazing. The gate comes to give life to the fool. The thief brings death. The true shepherd brings life, eternal life. The life Jesus gives is spiritual life, which affects our physical life. Satan doesn't care about the sheep in the pen. That's why he's described as the thief, to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. And to enter the pen for safety, the sheep have to go through the gate, the door. I think you get it. I think you understand what's happening. Jesus is the gate. By putting our faith in Jesus, it's not putting our faith in the church, it's not putting our faith in membership, it's not putting our faith in trying to do all these good things, but putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into a covenant with God. Jesus is both the gate where the shepherds enter, and he's the shepherd that enters in by the gate. He's both. Do you catch the imagery there? Jesus the shepherd is gathering his sheep. If you believe in Jesus, you are his sheep. What does that mean, you are his sheep? Well, it means that Jesus calls each of his sheep by name. He knows your name and he calls you by name. He knows you personally because he's a personal shepherd. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He's aware that there's older sheep that are wiser, but they don't move as fast. And he knows that there are younger sheep who are full of energy and have a tendency maybe to wander off. He knows when you need to eat and when you need to rest. Jesus knows everything about you, and guess what? You belong to him. Maybe someone needs to hear that today, that you belong to Jesus. You're not alone. There are other sheep in the pen. Jesus made the first move, and he came to you. God sent his son. He sent Jesus, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, to draw you to God. And if we stop for a second to understand, this story isn't about the sheep, but Jesus being the gate. It's about what Jesus did on the cross for you so that we can enter into the pen, into heaven. My question this morning to myself was, will you hear Jesus' voice? Will you follow him when you hear it? If you take a step back and you think about it, being called a sheep, it's not a compliment. Sheep aren't really known for being smart. There's a reason they need a shepherd, mainly because they can't really defend themselves. I saw a video recently of a sheep on his back, and it couldn't get over. It couldn't get to its feet. Couldn't do it. Some guy ran out there and tipped it over. And it scampered off. But they also wander off, and they follow other sheep off the cliff. See, here it is. It's another reminder to think of yourself as you should, that even on your best days, you're pretty helpless and in need of a shepherd. Jesus is not just the shepherd that you need, he's also the gate for you to enter the sheep pen. Jesus keeps out those who want to hurt the sheep. Jesus promises to guard and protect his sheep from the thieves and from the robbers who want to climb over and steal the sheep. Imagine you were there 2,000 years ago hearing these words from Jesus. Imagine you standing there and hearing it. The people were taught by the Pharisees. They were taught by the religious leaders that it was only keeping a long list of good deeds that you earned God's favor. And for generations, these people and their families had believed and obeyed these religious leaders. Then Jesus shows up on the scene and he tells the people that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, you know what? They're the real thieves and they're the real robbers and not shepherds at all. Can you imagine hearing that? Can you imagine if you were a Pharisee or a religious leader hearing that? Imagine not being able to trust those you thought were looking out for your well-being. Imagine hearing that not only what they were teaching was wrong, but it was also harmful. Well, what did the people do? What do you do? Believe the religious leaders who are spiritually blind don't know where they're going? Or do you believe Jesus who rose from the dead? The answer is to come to Jesus. He's the gatekeeper. Come through him and you'll find protection from the enemy, from the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. We always think that the devil is this cartoon and we imagine he's pretty harmless, but you know what? He's not. He's real and he wants to destroy your life and my life. You see, everything must center on Jesus. He's your shepherd and he will lead you to good pastures to feed you. He's your gate. Come through him into the sheep pen where he offers you protection. He offers you peace. Does he offer you that no trouble is going to come your way? He doesn't say that. But you know that you are protected. You are let out of the pen to feed in the green pastures, signifying that you're not called to live in your Christian life in the safety of the pen, a spiritual bubble, avoiding all contact with the outside world. I believe, you know, there are a lot of escapist Christians who long for Jesus to return, and we should be praying that Jesus returns, but they're praying that Jesus would take away all their pain, and there's so much bad in the world, and they distance themselves, and they're just like, I don't know what to do. They bury their heads in the sand, and they hope for the best, but Jesus wants you to not only have eternal life, but to have life to the fullest. And that includes sharing Jesus with others, right? It means telling the world that Jesus lives. It means inviting others with you to church so that they can know Jesus for themselves. Who are you inviting to church? Who are you inviting to Easter? Be praying for them. Ask God, who can I invite? See, Jesus never calls Christians to hunker down in safety inside the sheep pen, protected from danger. But you know what? They're starving to death in the pen. They need to go out to the pasture to be fed. Jesus didn't call you out of sin into a life of mediocrity. You are not just saved from sin, but you're saved for living life fully. He wants you to have life and life abundantly. And the truth is this morning that your life, that if your life is about anything other than Jesus, whatever that thing is, it's going to steal your joy. It'd be like the thief, and it'll steal your peace and your love, your life eventually. And as you walk closer to Jesus and you follow him, the greater your joy and the fuller your life will become. I didn't say it. Jesus, the gatekeeper, said it. Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. My question is, do you know this Jesus? Do you know Jesus the shepherd? Do you recognize his voice? Do you follow him when he leads? And if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time and he speaks to your heart, do you listen? Do you follow? If you recognize his voice, then you'll know not to listen to the enemy's voice. You'll know the difference. I am the gate for the sheep. Again, I love this imagery and these words of Jesus. He's not only the gate, he's not only the door for the sheep, but he's the gatekeeper. And we can't have access to God the Father by climbing over the fence and trying to get into heaven by some back door, some secret passage that only you know about. It doesn't work that way. There's only one way. Jesus is the gate. He's the gatekeeper. My niece, Jenny, and family, after frantically looking for little Ace, they did find him. And my sister, telling the story, still tears up because of the panic. He was hiding under the boat cover. Could hear them calling, but was hiding from them. And if their yard was fenced in, right, he wouldn't have been able to hide there because he would have been safe. But you can imagine their relief holding him tight that day. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. And the thought is this, what could have been? What could have happened? But you're so thankful. There is value in having a complete fence with a gate. There is only one door, one gate, and his name is Jesus. Do you know him personally? Do you believe that he knows your name? That's a thought right there. Of the billions of people on this planet, he knows your name. My question to myself and to you is, what are you holding on to that you need to let go of today? The Good Shepherd. Do you believe that he cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep? Do you recognize his voice when he calls you by name? Are you following his voice? Or is there too much noise going on? And are you following him? What is Jesus saying to you that you need to deal with? Jesus is the gate for the sheep. There's only one way in. Let's pray.